The title of my message this morning is Pursue Righteousness. And we see that in verse 9 of Proverbs 15, Pursue Righteousness. Now today I'm going to, I read 1 through 9 in Proverbs 15, but I'm only going to go through the verses that I had skipped over last time. And we will look at how those truths affect our pursuit of righteousness. You see, the Christian life is a pursuit of righteousness. We must fight the good fight. But we have a problem, don't we? We're sinful. We're lazy. We get distracted. We veer off course. We get discouraged. And in 1 Timothy 6, we read, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. So the life of the Christian is the pursuit of righteousness. And it is a lifelong journey of seeking Christ, of seeking wisdom from above, seeking to honor the Lord in all that we do. You see, when God saves you and changes your heart, that's just the beginning, not the end. And yet there are times in our lives when we struggle to stay focused on pursuing righteousness. Now, when I considered how to explain these struggles, I thought of a similar struggle that we often see and experience in work. So I hope this example helps you to understand the struggles that I'm talking about in the Christian life. You see, when you get a job, when you first get hired, it's so exciting, isn't it? A new job. You've got a really important job. It's a good job. And you're so excited to go to work. You're so excited to do the task in front of you. And your overall attitude is really positive. And even when faced with challenges, you tend to just smile and just work your way through it. But as years go by, that doesn't usually stay the same, does it? You see, oftentimes, although you still have the same good job, you get distracted. Your focus can change. And you're not as excited as you used to be about that good job. And oftentimes your focus tends to be on the parts of your job that you really don't like, as opposed to the blessings of your job. And oftentimes, most likely, you're not putting out the effort that you were when you first started. Well, this struggle is not uncommon to us as we walk the Christian life, as we pursue righteousness. You see, the new believer is so excited in all the things of the Lord, so excited God with what God is doing. They've just had their eyes opened to the glorious truth of the gospel. And so they are just excited and ready to go. Whatever God may call them to do, they're looking forward to it. And they're committed. They're hungry. They're committed to the Word. And so they're digging into the Word, and they're just so excited. They're telling everybody around them what the Lord is doing and what they're learning from the Lord. But again, it's difficult to keep that excitement up and to continue to press on in our pursuit of righteousness. Some of that excitement is lost, and we find ourselves going through the motions, but not being mindful of why we're doing what we're doing. And again, oftentimes, we're not putting the effort into pursuing righteousness that we used to. So this morning, it's my prayer that as we look at God's word in Proverbs, that God would strengthen us, that He would encourage us, that He would humble our pride, that through His word and the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit that is at work within us, that we would grow in our excitement to pursue righteousness. You see, it may not be new to us anymore, but it is still every bit amazing. What a privilege we have. So the main point this morning is pursue righteousness. My outline has 4 points. Number one, pursue righteousness, for God is watching. Number two, pursue righteousness by listening to correction. Number three, pursue righteousness, for God's blessings will be upon your house. And four, pursue righteousness, for God loves the way of the righteous. So number one, pursue righteousness, for God is watching. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. This verse speaks of the knowledge and providence of God. This verse is just as much a comfort as it is a terror. God knows everything. There is nothing hidden from His eyes. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, nothing is hidden from God's sight. And it is God who is the one with whom we have to do. Or you might say the one to whom we will have to give an account. So nothing is hidden from His sight. You see, it isn't that God can see if He wanted to. It is that He does see everything. Nothing escapes His notice. He does not close His eyes or look the other way when evil is going on. Nor does He get distracted or fail to notice when good deeds are being done either. His eyes are in every place, all the time. God is watching. And we need reminded of this, don't we? You see, we hear this and we know it's true. Of course, God can see. But all too often we forget. We fail to recognize this in everyday life. You see, this verse should not just keep us from sinning by reminding us that God is watching. But this verse applies when we're not sinning, when we're seeking to please the Lord, and we keep encountering trial after trial, struggling, and oftentimes before we know it, we're doubting that God is watching. So let's remember, God is watching. So we should be encouraged to continue on pursuing righteousness, even through trials. So God sees everything, But God is not merely a spectator who watches. He is also the righteous judge. He is not just watching all, but he is upholding and governing all. It says he is watching the evil and the good. Job 34, 21 and 22 says this, "For his eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness or deep shadow where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." So this verse does not just speak to the fact that God sees all, but also to the fact that he judges all. God is the one who judges between what is right and wrong, and he is the rewarder of those who do good and the punisher of those who do evil. Now, we've seen in this verse that nothing is hidden from God. He is watching and judging. But let's not overlook a very important point here. God is judging men according to the sight of his eyes. God is judging us according to the sight of his eyes. If we could just hang on to that, if we could just live life every day with that in mind. You see, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I find that I am more concerned with what other men think of me than what God thinks of me. This is so important. We've got to constantly remind ourselves of this. We are living before the eyes of God. We are living before the eyes of God. Yes, men see some of that. But we are living before the eyes of God. Now, this is a terrifying thing. But it is also comforting as well. It's terrifying because nothing is hidden from God. He sees all. He sees all your sins. Yes, even those hidden sins that no one else knows about. The sins of the heart, sinful thoughts, they are all open and laid bare before the eyes of God. He sees them all. So it is a terrifying thing because my heart is evil and I'm guilty and God knows it. But it is also comforting to know that nothing is hidden from God for at least two reasons. First, it is comforting because there is no fear of someday God finding out about all my sins and changing his mind and giving me what I deserve. You see, he knows better than I do what a wretch I am. And with full knowledge of my wickedness, he sent Christ to the cross for me. There is great comfort in knowing that God sees all, that nothing is hidden from his sight. Secondly, it is comforting because living for Christ isn't always easy. There will be times when you feel like everything around you is falling apart. And you're trying so hard to keep it all together. You're trying to make the wrong around you right. But things aren't taking shape like you wanted them to. You see, it's times like those when we're prone to have hopeless thoughts that God does not see, that God does not know our struggles. But he does. And so isn't it encouraging to know that God does see, God does know our struggles, and He cares for us. There is great comfort in knowing that nothing is hidden from God and that He is judging righteously. So do you see what great blessings we see in these truths? How it helps us in pursuing righteousness. Because God is watching, we have more motivation to do what is right and to flee from what is evil. And when times get tough and we're struggling, because we know God is watching, we can be encouraged to not give up, to continue fighting the good fight. So may we pursue righteousness, for God is watching. Number two, pursue righteousness by listening to correction. Verse 5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. Because of our prideful hearts, we hate to be wrong. But more than hating to be wrong, we hate to be corrected. But this is certainly utter foolishness. It is a fool who rejects his father's discipline. But he who regards reproof is prudent. We must not hate discipline. For it is through discipline that we grow in righteousness. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, I'll read 5 through 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So you see, to reject discipline is to reject the fruit of righteousness. This is certainly important for all of us. But I want to mention you children specifically this morning. You see, I want to make sure that you understand that this is not, that discipline and correction is not something that will go away when you grow up or when you move out from your parents' house. You see, in a way, your parents are just preparing you to receive the discipline of the Lord. So learn now not to reject your father's discipline. For God loves you, and He corrects His children. So in pursuing righteousness, we can see how important it is that we not reject discipline. We need to learn to listen to correction. Listening to correction is one of the greatest ways to pursue righteousness. Number three, pursue righteousness, for God's blessings will be upon your house. Verse 6, much wealth is in the house of the righteous, but trouble is in the income of the wicked. This verse speaks to the financial condition of the righteous and wicked. First, let me clarify that this verse is not teaching that all righteous will be rich and all wicked will be poor. That is not the point here. Also, I want to mention that while it is true that spiritually the righteous are rich while the wicked are poor, I believe this verse is not speaking of that wealth, but rather the effects of that wealth on their physical wealth, if that makes sense. So the two differences we see mentioned in this verse is that there is much wealth in the house of the righteous, while there is trouble in the wealth or the income of the wicked. You see, the righteous man who governs his life by the Holy Scriptures, that knowledge affects his finances. His work ethic is affected, so that he works harder. He tries not to be lazy, which certainly can increase wealth. Also, the righteous man exercises self-control in his spending, which increases wealth. And the righteous man does honest work that's a blessing to others, which can increase wealth and not bring troubles upon himself. But there is trouble in the income of the wicked. You see, the wicked are not pursuing righteousness at all. They do not have the fear of God in them, and they don't look to his word to see how they ought to live. And consequently, it affects every area of their life, including their wealth. The wicked try to gain wealth dishonestly and in other manners that God is opposed to. Thus, they bring troubles upon their income. The wealth of the wicked man is not the same blessing as the wealth of the righteous. Proverbs 10:22 says, "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." So the righteous man who is pursuing righteousness is blessed by God. His home is blessed. And unlike the wicked man, there are no sorrows with it. So here we see that pursuing righteousness in our finances, how we get wealth and what we do with wealth, brings God's blessings upon our house. So pursue righteousness, for God's blessings will be upon your house. Number four, pursue righteousness, for God loves the way of the righteous. Verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. First, we see here that God hates the way of the wicked. And this is why previously we went over verse 8. This is why in verse 8 we see that God hates the sacrifices and offerings of the wicked. You see, God hates the sacrifice of the wicked, not because he hates the sacrifice, but because of the one who offered it. You see, his whole course of life is in disobedience to God. God hates the way of the wicked because it is the wrong way. Everything about it is wrong. The way of the wicked is in direct rebellion against God. So again, we have here encouragement and motivation to pursue righteousness, because we see here how much God hates the way of the wicked. It is an abomination to him. But God loves him who pursues righteousness. God loves those who seek him. He loves those who do good. Now, all of these things are true and glorious. It is a wonderful thing. But I don't want anyone to misunderstand what God is saying here, because you could draw the wrong conclusion. For instance, it is true that God loves him who pursues righteousness. That's what the verse says. But to say God loves someone because they pursue righteousness, that is saying something completely different. And it's wrong. You see, you cannot earn God's love. Let me explain a little bit more. Remember back to our confession of sin this morning. Romans 3 says, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." You see, this is you and me. This is all of us. Apart from Christ, there is nothing in and of ourselves that would ever seek for God. We are totally depraved. John 6:44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Or you remember in 1 John, "We love because he first loved us." So we must understand that apart from the grace of God drawing us to himself, we would never pursue righteousness. So then, coming back to verse 9 in Proverbs, we understand that because God first loved us, we then love him and pursue righteousness. And God loves us, and he loves it when we pursue righteousness. Do you see how glorious this is? We are so blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. You see, the lost wicked man seeks after his own pleasures. He only pursues things that are perishing. And God hates the way of the wicked. And apart from Christ, that's where we all are. Right there. First half of the verse. That's where we are. But because of Christ, because our hearts have been changed, and the Holy Spirit is alive and well living inside of us, we pursue righteousness. And our minds are set on things above, where Christ is. But the blessings don't stop there. You see, as we pursue righteousness and live for the Lord, God is pleased, and he is delighted to see us walking in truth. So pursue righteousness. God is delighted to see you walking in the way you should go. So in conclusion, pursue righteousness. Fight the good fight. Press on. This morning we've seen some great truths from Scripture, and we have looked at how those truths affect our pursuit of righteousness. So I hope that you've been encouraged to keep fighting the good fight of faith, to press on, to pursue righteousness. Is it a struggle? Absolutely. But don't forget, you are not alone. Christ is working in you. So take courage. Fight the good fight. Press on. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So press on, pursue righteousness, and may Christ receive all the glory. Let's pray. O Lord, we are so blessed. Lord, we are wicked people who deserve your wrath. And yet you have drawn us to yourself. You have forgiven us our many sins. And you are delighted. You take pleasure in seeing us pursue righteousness. Oh Lord, you have blessed us so much. Lord, we thank you and praise your holy name. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us. We ask that you would give us wisdom in the steps that we take in life. Lord, we pray that we would seek you. And Lord, we are humbled and amazed and in awe of the fact that you can delight in us as we pursue you. Lord, we pray your will would be done, that you would accomplish all that you want to in us, that you would use us how you see fit. We thank you for Christ. We pray that in all of our lives, in each of the struggles that we have, in each of the issues that we're working through, Lord, we pray that we would not attempt these things on our own strength, but that we would realize that we would be so mindful of our dependence on Christ. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.